Okay, greetings everybody. Welcome. Shalom. Today is Wednesday, November 11th, and this is our UOS Lunch and Learn. I hope everyone had their own lunch already, or maybe you're going to have lunch afterwards. And we are, as you know, our study is a mitzvah of the week, and we call it the mitzvah shiur. And today's mitzvah is the obligation or the mitzvah to marry off one's children. Again, there are no, according to the Sefer Achinuch, as we have said, there is no mitzvah explicitly linked and stated in this week's parsha, but there are always different mitzvot that we can talk about that are related to events in the parsha. And so that's what we're going to do today, the mitzvah of marrying off one's children. So where does that come up in this week's parsha? It comes up in this week's parsha when Avraham sent his servant to go find a wife for Yitzchak. Okay, maybe you remember this event. I have the psukim here for you. It comes from Bereshit Perek Chaf Bet, chapter 22. Verses 2 through 4. Vayomer Avraham el Avdo Zikan Beto Hamoshel Bechol Asher Lo Simna Yadcha Tachat Yerechi. Avraham said to his senior servant, who had charge of all that he owned, put your hand under my thigh. This was a way that in the biblical times, they made an oath. And I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Ki el artzi ve'el moladati teleich ve'lakachti isha livni liyitzah. But you will go back to where I came from, and you will find a wife for my son, for Yitzchak. And so here you see, Avram is sending his servant to go find a wife for Yitzchak. Okay? Sorry, Shula, you have to unmute yourself if you have a question.
I said so. He's not the one that makes a mitzvah. He has a shaliach mitzvah.
Right, he's sending someone, but the concept of one shaliach is like oneself. Shlucho shel adam kimoto. So it's a good point. He doesn't send himself. He's too elderly at this point, and he can't travel the distance. And so he sends his servant in order to go take care of it. Okay, yeah.
Isn't it like you have a shachem now? Not everybody finds the right person by themselves.
Yeah, could be. And he does go through a whole test to make sure that he finds the right woman for Yitzchak. So he wants he's taking the role to make sure that he's going to be a good match. Yeah.
So the parents engage the shatran. So the mitzvah is really on the parents, and
that's what Avraham did here. He engaged his servant to be the matchmaker. Yeah. Go ahead, Chana.
It sounds a little bit strange. I understand why you wanted Isha for Yitzchak from his family, but and not from Bnot HaKna'ani, but it sounds a little bit strange, as if Avram's family were not of the Elilim. They were also of the Elilim.
Excellent. That's true.
So
right.
Bnot HaKna'ani were also of the Elilim. So what's the big deal? What's the difference? But I understand that he wants at least somebody reliable from his family.
So that's a very good point. Chana is right. The people in Canaan and the people of his own family were all idolaters.
Uh-huh.
So, lemai nafkamina, as they say. What's the difference between one idolater and another idolater? So the commentaries actually deal with this question, Chana, and some of them suggest that Avraham simply felt that the members of his family had better midot, better character traits, and they could be trained.
That's clear, yeah.
Interesting. What they say is really interesting. I think we touched on this in one of our Parsha Shiurim in a previous year, that Avraham felt that they could be trained and taught to be monotheists, to believe in God. That was easy, but to train someone to have good midot, to train someone to have good character traits, that's much harder. So he felt that he had a better shot of finding someone suitable for his son. He would train them they would come into a household where there's a belief in one God, and that belief could be followed and could be learned. But learning proper character traits, learning proper midot, that's too hard. So that's a very good point, Chana. Thank you. Okay, yes, Linda.
Yeah, all my life I've wondered what this, put your hand under my thigh. I mean, it just seems a little bit weird. Was this a cultural thing?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it was a cultural thing in the biblical times of how to, it's like a sort of like a handshake. That's the way they established a covenant, an agreement.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Now, what was the reason that Avram now all of a sudden wants to send someone to find a wife for Yitzchak? So in 22, in chapter 22, Perikav Bet, Avram sends his messenger. But in Perikav Dalet, we learn the following. Avraham Zakein Ba Bayamim V'Hashem Beirach Et Avraham Bakol. Avram was old, right? Avram was old. And since he was old, it was time for him to send someone to find a wife for his son. That's what the commentaries say. If you look at the Rashbam, Rabbi Shmuel ben Meir, you see his years. Baba Yamim, Vaharei Higia Eit Lahasia Et Bino B'Chayav. Time had come for him to marry off his son during his lifetime. He wanted to see his son married off. And so he was getting on in years, and he realized that time was running out on him, and he wanted to make sure that Yitzchak got married. Okay? Yes, Shula.
Why does it say Avraham, Hashem belech oto bakol? Hachi chashuv ze sheyesh lecha, the most important thing is that you have a continuation, that you have a zera, lezaracha.
Right.
So means that everything really, what, the wealth, the avadim, shfachot, the nashim.
That's such a good question. Why would the Torah?
Al-Beri said, Berech Otom Bakol, where the most important thing that the person wished to is to have his name be continued.
Right. That's a very good question. So you're asking, why does it say that Abraham was blessed with everything, while in fact, that's not so clear? Well, here's the I think at this point, hold on, let me grab a chumash, because I think the answer is clear. Because you have to remember, Abraham sent his servant in chapter 22, right? He sent his servant in chapter 22 to find Yitzhak a wife. So what happens in chapter 22? He sends him off, and then it's successful, right? He's successful in finding Rivka, right? In chapter 22. So by the time the Torah tells this to us in chapter Chaf Dalid, Yitzhak already has a wife.
Oh.
Right? It's a good question, but it makes sense in the order of the way that it appears. Okay? So okay.
He probably meant Bakol materialistic, not that he has everything materialistic.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, hold on 1 second. I'm sorry. This is mistaken.
Oh,
I'm sorry. You're right. You are right, Shula. This is This is mislabeled. I'm sorry. I retract what I said. Avraham, the Torah says, Avraham zaken ba bayamim, v'Hashem beirachet Avraham bakol. Avraham was old, and God blessed him with everything. That's in Chaf Dalid, Pasuk Bet, Aleph and Bet, Pasuk Aleph, excuse me. And then it says, Vayomer Avraham el Avdo Zikan Beito HaMoshel B'chol Asher Lo Simna Yadcha Tachat Yerechi. So you're right, Shula. It's a very, very good question. What does it mean that he was blessed with everything, while in fact we know that he was upset that he did not yet have someone, or concerned at least, that he did not have someone to marry off his son. And so Rashi says, I'm sorry, the Dak Mikra says, Ba'orech yamim, ba'osher uvanim, shezo kol chemdata adam. He's quoting the Ibn Ezra. He had children. He had wealth, and that's everything everyone wants. Meaning, he realized that Yitzhak was eventually going to be remarried, going to get married, but he wanted to see it. But he was still blessed with everything he needed for his progeny to take it to the next level, even if he wasn't going to see him married off. And anyway, according to the Ibn Ezra. According to the Rashbam, he actually was very concerned, and he wanted to make sure that he got him married off. Okay, so that's you. That's a very, very good point, Shula. Thank you again. Okay, now let's look at some of the commentaries before we get to some of the halachot involved here. Let's look at some of the commentaries that talk about what was going on at that time. The Radak says something very interesting on this question, like you said, Shula. Lo chaser davar, v'lo hiya lo davar, tzorech ba'olam hazeh, elasiya isho livno Yitzchak ha'ra'uilo. So why does it say that he had everything? He had everything except for this one thing. Except for this one thing. He lacked nothing and did not need anything in his life except to see his son well married. I mean, he had all the material things were taken care of, like you said, but he didn't have this one last thing. Chana, one second. I'll get you in a second.
Lafa Bariam is waiting for you.
Ah, thank you.
She cannot enter.
I just let her in. Thank you. Okay, I wasn't paying attention to the waiting room. Okay. So the Rashbam, says something very interesting. O shalach avdo lakachat isha mimishpachto, Mahmat Choser Nashim be'eretz Kanan. This is sort of along the lines of what Chana said, that when Avraham sent his servant, it's not because, we'll read it here, this is to inform, explain to us about what is said, that Avraham did not send his servant to take his wife for Yitzhak on account of a lack of women in the land of Canaan, or because no one wanted to mate with him. Shelo hayu rotzim his daveglo. Why does the Torah tell us he had everything? To make sure we're clear why Avraham sent his servant far away. Not because he thought that no one would want to marry his son where he lived. After all, Avraham had everything. Right? Everyone wanted to marry into his family. That was the royalty of the time. But he only wanted someone from his family. V'zehu she'amar ha'eved. That is why the servant Eliezer said to Rivka's family, V'ashem beirach et Adoni me'od, v'yigdal, and God blessed my master with much, and he has become wealthy. U'lakach u'trach lefaresh techila beirach et Avraham bakol, kimo v'cham hu avi kenan. He's telling us that he had this blessing, so we're clear, right? So we're clear why he sent Eliezer away, not because there was any pigam or any perceived problem with his family, but rather because it was his decision. He wanted someone from a different family. So these are also your question, Shula, is really the question on everyone's mind, right? What does this mean that God blessed Avraham with everything? And so now we're getting a better understanding of what that meant. Finally, the Sephorno, and then we'll get to the halacha. Umipnei Oshro, Da'ag Shema Eze Adam Bilti Hagun, Yirbesh Shochad La'avdo, K'dei She'ivchar Bito. Because it was wealth, Avram was concerned that someone unworthy might bribe Eliezer into taking his daughter for Yitzchak. V'lo yishtadel lahasig isha haguna livno, and then Eliezer would not take the necessary steps or put in the proper effort to find someone proper for his son. That's why he made him swear for this, because he was concerned that Eliezer was vulnerable to bribery, because everyone, like we said in the previous comment of the Rashbam, everyone would certainly want to be part of Avraham's family. So those are some comments on why the Torah tells us that Avram was blessed bakol, with everything, why Avram sent his servant far away. Okay, so now we see in this parsha that Avram went to great lengths to marry off his son. He swore, he entered into an oath, he made his servant swear to it, and he sent him far away. Like, he really, really took care of the details to make sure that he got exactly what he wanted. So let's see now some of the codification of this law, how this appears in halacha. So we see this in the Gemara. Well, let me stop here for a second. I think there's some questions. Doreen, do you have a question?
It's more of a thought.
Okay.
God had promised Abraham that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky. So my thought was that in sending Eliezer to find the right wife for his son, he's almost partnering with God in bringing God's promise to fruition.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And meaning he could have waited around and said, hey, you know, God made me a promise, I'm just going to wait till someone comes around to marry Yitzchak. But we know that's not the way we're supposed to operate. We're supposed to do our own effort.
Yeah.
Our own efforts. Exactly.
Yeah.
Correct. Yes, that's right. Okay. Zach, go ahead. You have to unmute, Zach.
Yeah, I would like to make a comment because you are going to read from Kiddushim. It means that this is not one of 613 mitzvot, and I think it's very understandable because marriage between Yitzchak and Rivka not so-called perfect marriage. Really, none of the heroes of Torah ever followed up the same thing. Moshe did not get his wife from advice of his parents. Yaakov, he found his marriage also without a consent with his parents. And I think it's a lot of to do with Yitzchak character, because we know that he is by nature was not very forceful person. And we can follow it from very beginning. This is why I think that our sages, when they actually build up 613 mitzvot, they did not make this one a mitzvah. Only rabbinical the mitzvahs on this way.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Meaning that our biblical history shows us that when parents the biblical history shows us that there's not many more models of parents finding or a shaliach finding a mate, right? And that's true. Yes. The halacha, there are halachot that say certainly the couple, they need to meet with each other and they need to get to know each other before they get married. That's what we call shiduchin. A shidduch is not just a match. Shiduchin represents the whole process of the couple getting to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
So even if someone else recommended the marriage, there's still an obligation for the couple to engage in what's called shiduchin, which is getting to know each other. I guess what we would call dating, and that's of course that's different in every sector. Okay, excellent point, Zach. So let's see what the Gemara says here. Tanya lahad tanya rabbanan ha'av chayav bibno. The Gemara lists here a number of obligations that a father is responsible for, and they are limolo, to make sure the son is circumcised. Or actually, it's the father's obligation to circumcise him, so either the father has to do it or he has to hire a moel to do it. Vilifdoto, and if he's a firstborn, to do the pidyon haben, to redeem him. Ulalamdo Torah, and to teach him Torah. Nowadays, we fulfill that obligation mostly by sending our kids to school or hiring a teacher. Ulahasio Isha, here's the one that we're talking about, and to marry him to a woman. So we see that the rabbis here, right, view this obligation as something that the father has to do for the son, right, to facilitate in some way that the son gets married. Ulalamdo umnut, and also teach him a trade. V'yeshomrim afla hashito b'mayim. And some say even to teach him how to swim. Okay, so it's a beautiful list of things that the father is obligated to do for their son. And the one that we're focused on is Lahasio Isha. Okay, so it's interesting. So this is the Gemara Masechet Kiddushin. One page later, the Gemara asks, what's the source for this? How do we know that a father... It asks the question, how do we know that a father is obligated to do to Brit Milah and Pidyon HaBen and teaching them a trade? And one of the questions the Gemara asks is, how do we know, what's the source that a father has to facilitate finding a wife for their son? And what would you expect the source to be?
An example from somebody else that did that.
Right, exactly, Shula. I would have expected the source to be our Parsha. Right, the example of the Gemara could have quoted this Pasuk. Right, go find. Go find my son a wife. But that's not the source in the Gemara. The Gemara says as follows here. La'isio isha minalan. How do I know, from where do I know that the father is obligated to find a wife for the son? Dichtiv, quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Kichu nashim v'holidu banim uvanot. Take wives and bear sons and daughters. And then it says, Ukichu livnechem nashim vet binotechem tenu la'anashim. And after you've married and had children, once you're done with that, take wives for your sons and give your daughters to men. So that's explicit in the Navi, right? And this actually goes very much to what Shula said. Because right? If you read this Pasuk, what's the purpose? Let's see if we can figure this out. What's the purpose? Again, the obligation stated, now this is a little higher than a rabbinic obligations act. This is Midivrei Kabbalah from the Nevi'im, but still not from the Torah explicitly, like you said. This is the source for it. So what's the reason for it? Read this pasuk carefully.
Peruvu.
Ah, peruvu. For who, Chana?
Yeah, just to have children.
God created the world and he said, peruvu milu et haaretz.
But whose fulfillment? Whose fulfillment of peruvu here?
The people, but it's also for
which
God.
People? There are two generations in this pasuk. There's the parents and the children. Whose fulfillment of peruvu is this talking about?
The children.
It's God and the people. There is a relationship, right?
I don't think so. Let's look very carefully at who the pasuk is talking to. The pasuk is talking to the parents. You should get married, and then after you get married, you should make sure your children get married. This is a function of peru uravu for the parents. Because remember, when we learned the mitzvah of peru uravu in Parshat Bereshit, we learned when can we be sure that a parent has fulfilled their obligation of peru uravu? when they have grandchildren. Grandchildren. So if you look at this pasuk here, it's interesting. Why is there a mitzvah? Now we understand a little better. Why is there an obligation for a parent to see to it that a child gets married? Let the child figure it out for themselves. The child has an obligation in Peru Revu, just like the parent does. Let the child figure it out for themselves. But I think from this pasuk, we're learning that the issue here is not when the Gemara says the father has an obligation, lahasio isha, to go find a wife for the husband, that's to make sure that he finally fulfills his mitzvah of Peru Revu by having grandchildren, which also explains why the mother is not obligated. Because as we also learned that week, the women have no obligation in Peru Revu, despite the fact that it takes two to tango, and it's really hard to have a baby without a woman. She's not obligated in the mitzvah of Peru Revu. So that's why the Gemara says this is the father's obligation. That's why this is listed in a whole list of the father's obligations, because he's obligated in Peru Revu, and therefore he has to make sure for his own sake that his sons get married, and according to the pasuk in Yirmiyahu also, that his daughters get married, which is even a better proof, because the fact that he wants his daughters to get married is also indicative that it could be about Peru Revu, because she's not obligated in Peru Revu, the daughter, but still he wants her to get married, because if she has kids, then he's fulfilling his mitzvah of Peru Revu. So that's what we have here in this. That's why we look at this pasuk, Kichu Lachem Nashim, the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Kichu Nachem Nashim, Holidu Banim Uvanot, Kichu Levnechem Nashim, Epnotchem Tenu Lanashim, V'teladna Banim Uvanot, Urevu Sham, V'al Tim Atu. Right? That's the language, Peru Revu is the language right there, right? Urevu Sham. This is about the mitzvah of Peru Revu. And I saw this in a really interesting article on this obligation of finding. The obligation for a parent to find an obligation to find a husband for their sons. In an article from the Maaliot, which is a journal from one of the yeshivot hezder in Israel, written by Ron Katz. If you want to see the whole article, I think there's the link to the whole article. If you want to see it, let me know. He says something very interesting. He says, Barur, Shamakor bidvarim ki yikach matil chiyuv ishi al adam harotzel hitchaten. There's a pasuk in Devarim, ki yikach ish isha, a man is obligated to get married. Ve'ein lekach shum kesher im aviyachatan. Right? There's no connection between the basic obligation to get married and the father of the groom. An individual has an obligation to get married on their own. Hamekor mimenu nilmad chiyuv ha'av lahasia et bino. The source that we learn the obligation for a father to facilitate marrying off the son, hu hamekor b'yirmiyah. That's the pasuk we just saw in Yirmiyahu. This pasuk, right here, the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Kichu levnechem nashim. Adam mechuyav lidog lahamshich hazera shelo. A person is obligated to see to it that they continue their legacy, their progeny. Mitzvot peruvu eina mistayemet beholadat yiladim. The mitzvah peruvu doesn't end when one has children. Yesh chiyuv lidog lekach shegam liyiladim yihiyeh hemshech. There's an obligation to see to it that the children also get married. I'll get you 1 second, Nitza. Adam sheholid yiladim lelo koach holada rachmana litzlan lo kiyem mitzvah peruvu. If God forbid someone has children who themselves can't have children, then they haven't fulfilled their mitzvah peruvu. Now, I'm not saying they've done anything wrong. I want to be clear, like we have to be very sensitive to that. But that's what the halacha is. Simuchin lesvara sheivanu nuchal lemtzo b'divrei harushalmi besugya makbila lesugyatenu hatola et hamikor lechiyuv hasa'at haben. In the Talmud Yerushalmi, when it talks about the obligation of the father to marry off the children. It doesn't quote the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. It quotes this pasuk in Devarim, which at the end says, "Vahodatem livanecha vilivnei banecha." Again, this is all about having grandchildren. So that is one view of this mitzvah. One view of this mitzvah is the reason why a father has an obligation to marry off their sons and daughters is so that the father can finally fulfill the mitzvah of Peru Uruvu. And maybe that's why Avraham did it, right? Avraham did it because he wanted to make sure that, like Shula said, his legacy was going to live on. He wasn't satisfied with himself, and therefore he had to see to it that Yitzchak got married. There's another view. We'll see it in a moment, but I want to take some questions. That's why Nitza has a question, and then Shula has a question. So Nitza, go ahead.
It's really not a question, but a comment that whenever you have a mitzvah, it's not necessarily, if you want to have it fulfilled, you have to go farther and see what do you get out of it. So you get out of it, here is an example, you get grandchildren and the continuation of your name. Another one is Kabed et Avicha ve'et Imecha. It's not only Kabed, for a reason why. So your life will be longer. So you get something for every mitzvah you actually perform.
Right. So there is, when it comes to the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, there is a reward stated. Correct. Correct.
That's my comment.
Okay. Thank you. Shula.
There is something probably in the Gemara that you don't mekayem, you don't fulfill the puvu unless you have a son and a daughter. And now I can see where it comes at, because it says banim vebanot.
Right.
In the pasuk.
Excellent.
Because right. So the concern is really that we should be numbered. And if you have a son and a daughter, you have more chances to have more grandchildren.
Right. It's right. Good point. Excellent. Okay. All right. Any other comments or questions before we move on? There's another view here, which I want to show you from the Rambam. It's very interesting. When studying this topic, many, many commentaries will say that the Rambam did not codify this law, right? The law in the Gemara that says that a father is obligated to marry off the son, right? Some say that the Rambam did not codify it. However, if you look at the Rambam, he actually did codify it. So we have to understand what these scholars mean when they say the Rambam did not codify it. He does codify it. He says right here in Hilchot Isurei Bia, Mitzvat Chachamim Sheyasi Adam Banav Uvnotav Samuch Lepirkan. Among our sages' commands is that a person should marry off his sons and daughters close to the time they reach physical maturity. She'im Yanichan Yavo De Znut Oli De Hirhur. What's his reason? His reason is because if not, they're going to start to act improperly. V'alzen emar, ufakadeta navcha velo techeta. Concerning this, we'll apply the verse, scrutinize your dwelling and you shall not sin. Okay? So this is very interesting, right? That the Rambam, when codifying this halacha, doesn't at all mention Yitzchak, doesn't mention Avraham Yitzchak, doesn't mention the pasuk in Yirmiyahu that the Gemara uses, doesn't mention the pasuk in Devarim that the Yerushalmi uses, comes up with his own pasuk, right? His own pasuk that has nothing to do with the way it's stated in the Gemara. And that is why, by the way, as I mentioned, many people say the Rambam did not codify this halakha, because even though this halakha that we just read sounds like the halakha in the Gemara, that you're obligated to marry off your children. It's actually a very different halacha, and for a very different reason. You see here, this is not at all about Peru or Revu. Either for the son or for the child or for the parents. This is entirely about maintaining a certain level of tsniut, right? This is about maintaining modesty.
Morality.
And morality, which explains why you find these halachot in Hilchot Isurei Bia, in the laws of forbidden relationships, not in the laws of marriage, right? This is not in the laws of marriage. And this is not in the laws where the Rambam talks about the mitzvah of Peru Revu. This is in the laws of forbidden relationships, because the reason you want to, and that's why he says we should marry them off early. The Gemara doesn't say you should marry, the father's obligation to marry them off early. The Rambam says you have to marry them off early, because any delay is going to mean a possibility of more promiscuity. So the Rambam has a very, really does not codify this halacha. It's not for him, it's not about Puruvu, it's about something entirely different. Even though it sounds familiar, it sounds similar, it's not really similar. And by the way, he also knocks it down a notch. Who's the source? What's the source of the mitzvah in the Gemara? The Nevi'im, Yirmiyahu. What's the Rambam source?
Where is it?
Right there.
Locking
on. No.
Chachamim. Chachamim.
He's right?
For the Rambam, it's a mitzvah d'Rabbanan, which is a lower level mitzvah. Excuse me. It's a lower level mitzvah than something which is obligated by the Nevi'im.
Uh-huh.
And so while the Gemara tells us this is the source of this is the Nevi'im, what we call Divrei Kabbalah, the Rambam says it's mitzvah chachamim. It's a dirabanan, which is a lower level mitzvah. So you see the Rambam in many different ways looks at this in completely a different perspective. Okay. What are some of these rules here? What are some of the rules of matchmaking? So this is an interesting one. The Shulchan Aruch here is talking about the mitzvah of kibud av ve'em, like you just talked about, Nitza, the mitzvah of honoring our parents. But how the Rama adds as follows. Im ha'av moche b'ven lisa ezo isha shiachpotz ba haben ein sarich lishmoa el ha'av. Right? If the son finds a suitable wife that he would like to marry and the father objects, the son does not have to obey the father. Right now, all the commentaries say that's assuming that the woman is proper and she's a good fit and she has good midot, right? And she's not an oisvarf. But assuming she's a wonderful person, for whatever reason, the parents don't like the shidduch, the son is not obligated to listen. And similarly, the poskim say the parents should not force a shidduch on the child, because that's never going to end well. So even though the father has an obligation to marry off the son, that obligation, the son is not obligated to necessarily accept the father's suggestion for a shidduch. Okay, let's look at one more thing. How much does the father have to do? So this is from a collection of Shelot U'Tshuvot called Chevel Nachalato. This is Chelek Tetvav, Sif Lamed. So volume 15, question number 30, by Rabbi Yaakov Epstein. Rabbi Yaakov Epstein is a contemporary Torah scholar living in Eretz Yisrael. And he writes as follows. Olot HaShelot Matayz Manam Shel HaChiyuvim Al Ha'av. Kasher lamo v'liftot heim vaday bekatnut. When, at what age of the child is the father obligated to fulfill these mitzvot, right? So we know when it comes to the mitzvot of Mila and Pidyon HaBen, they have to do them when they're young, right? Because the Torah tells us, we know at the age, right? We know at age. Amnam, Shara Chiyuvim. What about the other obligations? Torah, Umnut, Isha, Lashito Banahar. At what age does the father have to teach the son Torah or a trade or find them a wife or teach them to swim? Adayin omdim b'sheila matai chachova aleihem. We still have a question about this. When does that obligation apply? V'chein ha'im kofin aleihem. O sheze begedet staka ugmulut chasadim shela av lebeno. And what's the level of obligation, right? The level of obligation of Mila and Pidyon HaBen, we know. That is explicit in the Torah. So that's a mitzvah d'oraita. We probably could also say that the mitzvah of teaching Torah to the son is a mitzvah d'oraita on the father. But what about these other ones? So we have two questions. At what point does that obligation begin? What's the level of the obligation? We see that the Gemara considers the obligation of father marrying off a son to be Divrei Kabbalah from the Nevi'im. And the Rambam, who sees the whole thing entirely differently, sees it as a mitzvah d'rabbana. So, let's see what he says. One paragraph. Harishonim mi'atu l'tcheis l'shelot elu. There's very little, says Rabbi Epstein, in the Rishonim, the commentaries about this. Hara'avan, one of the Rishonim, regarding the mitzvah of the father to marry off the son, bismano ka'amar, in the proper time, dumya dilimulo shehu bismano, v'lifloto bismano l'shloshim yom, ulamdo sefer bismano ben chamesh, af lahasiyo bismano ka'amar kishu gadol, v'mitzvahi sheyasok b'zivugo. So he answers the question by saying, we have to assume that these mitzvot are all working on the same plane, that there's an obligation of the father to give the son a brit milah pidyon haben in the right time. So similarly, we would say in the time when they're ready to get married. So the Rambam said that's when they're very young. And the Gemara, there's another Gemara that says, when they, Gemara says here, ukeshetigdal, also, but grown up in halacha is 12 or 13, in the right time. So it's the father, whenever the right time is, the father has an obligation to work on that right away. And, v'yitein lo mamano, he has to give him enough money to get married. He's got to make him a wedding. He's got to facilitate this shidduch. In some way, doesn't mean it needs a 13-piece band at the wedding, right? But it needs to facilitate the wedding so that it could happen. Now, when it comes to a daughter, there are also other types of obligations that the Gemara and the commentaries talk about. But here, when it comes to the obligation to marry off the son, the obligation is in the right time, bismano, and so when the Gemara says chayav adam. Right, that the obligation is to lasio isha. It means maybe to help him meet someone, but also to give him the wherewithal to actually have a wedding itself. That is what Rabbi Epstein says in Chevel Nachalato Tetvav Lam. So there you have it. We have the story in this week's parsha about Avraham going out of his way, and you see it. He sends Eliezer to find a wife for Yitzchak, and he gives him gifts so he could, just like the Chevel Nachalato said, you have to facilitate it. He has to give the woman's family, in this case, enough money, which will convince them that it's okay to send their daughter to a strange land and to probably and likely never see them again. So he has to facilitate that. We saw the reason why the Torah tells us that Avraham was blessed with everything. To make sure that Eliezer wasn't bribed. He made Eliezer swear that Avram was getting old and he wanted to see, like Shula said, he wanted to see the next generation. What the purpose of the mitzvah we saw is for the fulfillment of peru uravu for the parent, not for the child that they're looking to marry off. And the Rambam sees this very differently. The Rambam doesn't really see this as a mitzvah connected to peru uravu. He sees this as a mitzvah connected to promiscuity or morality, and he downgrades it from a divrei kabbalah to a din derabanan, to a rabbinic law. Okay. We have time for some comments or final questions, if anyone has.
Thank you. Very interesting.
If not, thank you. And if not.
Thank you, Rabbi Gelman. Great topic.
Have a good day. Have a good day, everybody.
One question, Barry.
Yeah.
If the father is has to go marry off his son, what is this? What is the thing with all the shidduchim? People who look for people. Is he supposed to, if he can't find, send somebody else to find?
So we saw he has to facilitate the wedding, right? His obligation would be to facilitate the wedding once they do.
But who finds the bride? Who finds the bride?
So it's unclear if this, I don't think this means, and it's certainly not the way it's been understood, that the father has to find the bride. He has to facilitate. If the son needs a new suit and a new pair of shoes and a new hat to go out on a date, or he needs a car to go out on a date, or he needs to be taught how to talk, you know, to a woman. So the father has to give the son all of the tools needed so that when he goes out and meets someone, plus also it's usually the parent, if you're dealing in the world of shadchanut, if you're dealing in the world of matchmaking, it usually is the parents that call the shadchan, right? So it is the parents who are getting the ball rolling.
But it's not the parents who are actually deciding if this is a good match.
Well, they would. They would decide, and then the son has veto power. Yeah, no. That's exactly what happens. The parents say, the shadchan has recommended Chana, and we think she's great. Now you go out with her, and if you don't think she's great, then you don't have to marry her. That's what the Shulchan Aruch said.
But that's not what Abraham did, because he sent out a shaliach, and he was bringing back a wife, period.
Yeah, but first of all, in context of that period of time, it could have been different. And for all we know, Yitzchak could have said, no, I don't like her.
Oh, okay.
But that didn't happen. Eliezer did his homework. Yeah, Nitza.
At least we understand why we have to raise them, why we have to pay for college, why we have to pay maybe after they get married. They need some help.
Right.
So it justifies whatever we do.
The gift that keeps on giving.
It never ends.
Oh, we send them to Australia.
All right, everyone. Have a wonderful day.
Bye.
Kol tov, zay gesund.
Thank you, Rabbi Gelman.
Nice to see you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Nice to see you all. Thank you. Bye.